you don't have a Bible, then you can go online and grab a Bible. You can download a Bible app to your phone, to your smartphone, and that's the Bible I use the majority of the time in my life, believe it or not, is the Bible on my cell phone. As you can imagine, I considered preaching a special sermon for today based on the coronavirus and the pandemic and everything we're experiencing. Certainly wanted to be sensitive to the season that we are in as a church, as a nation, and as a world. However, when I came to the passage that I was supposed to preach on today anyway, I was persuaded that there's no better text I could preach on today than continuing our series in Leviticus. So grab a Bible and turn to Leviticus chapter 11. There are only two verses we're going to take a look at today. It's going to be verses 44 and 45. All of chapter 11 is a humdinger to read because it has to deal with the food laws, the dietary laws that God gives Israel, telling them what is clean, what is unclean, what is sacred, what is unsacred, what is allowed, what is not allowed, what's kosher, what's not kosher. So we won't bore you with all those readings, but we will focus on Leviticus chapter 11, verses 44 and 45. Hear the word of God. For I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am holy. You shall not defile yourselves with any swarming thing that crawls on the ground. For I am the Lord who brought you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray at this time a prayer of illumination, asking that your Holy Spirit would illuminate our minds so that we would see your word clearly. I pray today, Father, that your Holy Spirit would help us to see you clearly and help us to see ourselves clearly in this passage. Point us to Jesus and apply it faithfully and appropriately to our lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Is the number. 300,000 is the number currently infected with the coronavirus. 13,000 have died now globally. This morning, the numbers I was able to read said 763 cases in Florida with 12 deaths. It's consumed us all week, hasn't it? We can feel the ripple effects. The inconvenience of our lives by the fact that our schedule has been changed. I've been frustrated this week. My routine has been messed up this week. There are and there will be financial ramifications of this coronavirus. There are relational ramifications as well. Many of you have loved ones and family members, friends that are in nursing homes or in the hospital, and you can't see them. We had a precious birth in our family just yesterday. I have a new little cousin boy named Noah and his own grandparents. Could not see him yesterday. They couldn't go into the hospital. They couldn't hold him. They couldn't kiss him. Why? Because of the coronavirus. Every single one of us has been touched and impacted by this pandemic. How have you responded? I can tell you how I've been responding. I've been irritable all week. I got news that the gym was closed, at least for the next 30 days. That's usually how I begin my day, working out and then in God's word. So my routine has been frustrated, and I've been frustrated as a result. I've been annoyed. I drink about 6 to 8 of these bottles of water in a given day, and as you can imagine, that's becoming a problem now. Because when I go to the grocery store, these bottles of water are not as easy to get and to grab. You're experiencing that as well. How have you responded this week? I know how I've responded. I've been irritable. I've been inconvenienced. But I'm grateful for the opportunity to preach this morning because this responsibility has forced me to look into God's Word and ask God the question, how should I respond? How should we respond to this pandemic? Whenever we see something this significant happen in our own lives, there's a good rule of thumb for how we should respond. In fact, when we see something of this significance happen church-wide, there's a good rule of thumb about how we should respond. When we see something of this significance across our nation, there's a good rule of thumb about how we should respond. And even more so, when we see something impact our world at this level, there is a good rule of thumb about how we should respond. What is it? Repent and pursue holiness. Repent and pursue holiness. My friends, if this bottle was a symbol of the world, and this hand of mine was a symbol of God's grip on the world, do not think for a second that God has let go of the world and just dropped it in this pandemic. No, my friends, and if anything, God in his preserving grace, he hasn't let go at all, but it's as if he's just eased the grip, but it's still in his grip. And you see what God can allow to happen? God is trying to get your attention. God is trying to get my attention. God is getting our attention. Because a couple of weeks ago, things that rivaled God for his attention are gone now. Professional sports, done. Little League games, done. Schoolwork, not even an issue unless you're doing schoolwork online. Busyness of schedules and getting together with people in meetings, put on pause, put on hold. Why? God is getting your attention, friends. God is getting my attention. And what does he say to us? Repent. Repent and pursue holiness. That's what the entire book of Leviticus is about. It's about a holy God coming to dwell with his people. And it deals with that relationship about how God is going to interact with them and how they are to interact with their God, living in their midst in the tabernacle, in the tent of meeting. And so the big idea of today's message is this, is that God is calling us today to repent and to pursue holiness. Why? There are two reasons I want us to investigate very, very briefly and quickly with one another today. The first reason why we should repent of our sins and pursue holiness is because of who God is. Because of who God is. We see it in verses 44 and 45. In verse 44 and 45, we notice that God commands his people to be holy. Why? For I am holy. Why should we repent and pursue holiness? Because God is holy. That is who God is. You see, God's holiness is the greatest attribute of all of his attributes. J.I. Packer says it's the godness of God, his holiness. He says it is what sets God apart from his creation. It's what sets God apart from you and me. His holiness is what makes us be in awe of him. His holiness is what makes us adore him. His holiness is what makes us fear him. If you remember, the call to worship that Patrick used this morning was from Isaiah chapter 6. Remember, the cherubim and seraphim did not even dare to gaze upon the holiness of God. Why? Because it causes us to fear him. Because we know that we are his creation. He's the creator. He's holy and we are not holy. Remember in Exodus chapter 3 when Moses comes upon God in the burning bush, God commands Moses to take off his sandals because where he's standing is holy ground. Why should we repent and pursue holiness? Because it is who God is. We've all heard the saying that cleanliness is next to godliness. And there's an aspect in which the water is used throughout the scriptures as a picture of purification and cleansing. But I remember talking to a gentleman years ago in Georgia when he talked about how holy his grandfather was. He said, my grandfather was so holy, when we got indoor plumbing, he didn't even allow a toilet to be installed in his home. He said, because my dad said, you know, that should not be under the same roof where we eat our meals. Now, that was a misunderstanding of holiness and sacredness and being set apart. It's talking not about the physical aspect of cleanliness, but being holy is being godly. And that's why today's message is titled, Holiness is Next to Godliness. You see, in Leviticus chapter 11, God gives his people all kinds of dietary laws about what is kosher and what's not kosher, about what is set apart for them to eat and what is not set apart for them to eat. And scholars are in great debate about why God established those laws. Was God telling us something about what is better hygiene, what's better for us to eat, what's better healthy for our bodies? Some are persuaded that's the case. But at the end of the day, every scholar is in agreement about this, that the main reason why God decided to have these laws about, dietary laws about what God's people should eat and should not eat is for this reason. It set them apart in the daily routine of their lives and what they even ate, in the minutia of what they would choose to eat or not eat, revealed their relationship with God. Friends, what are the minute parts of your lives that no one knows about today, but you do? And you know you need to repent of it. God is showing every single one of us in this moment of this pandemic, God's revealing something to each and every single one of us about our hearts. God's revealing the idol of convenience. God's revealing the idol of personal peace. God's revealing the idol of money, and that we value it too much, and that we base our security of our lives upon our financial life. And we need to repent and pursue holiness because that's who God is. I've read a story about a church testimony that was happening at a church. The minister gave a time for people to stand up and testify about how God had impacted their lives. And one guy stood up, his old country boy, and he said, you know, preacher, I used to run around and drink whiskey and get drunk till I was just sloppy drunk. I used to gamble, I used to cuss, I used to steal. But now that I'm a Christian, I've almost given up on all of those things. Notice what he said. I've almost given up on all of those things. Isn't that a picture of you and me today? That yes, we've been saved by God's grace. But when it comes to our sanctification, there's still a lot of work for God to do in our hearts and in our lives. There's a lot that's changed about us that we... The old has gone, the new has come, but there's so much more that still needs to be sanctified in me and still needs to be sanctified in you. That's what it means to be a Christian. The word Christian in the book of Acts meant to be a little Christ running around. It was actually used in a very derogatory way, but now we look at it as a badge of honor. In other words, we should be as holy as Jesus is holy. In Mark chapter 1, verse 24, a demon calls out to Christ and tells Christ his identity. And the demon is accurate about Christ's identity. He says this, I know who you are, You are the Holy One of God. Why should we repent today and pursue holiness? Because that's who God is. That's who Jesus is. And you and I should reflect our Savior. Each day, each year, we should reflect Him more and more. As we encounter our sinfulness, it should not drive us to despair, but it should drive us to our knees in repentance. Remembering how great of a Savior we have, that our Lord Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. That means He did not inherit Adam's original sin. Jesus was free from sin from the start. And we know He lived a sinless life, perfectly loving God with all of His heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving His neighbor as Himself. And that allowed Him to come as a perfect substitute in our place, to sacrifice Himself as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. How should we respond today to this pandemic? A good rule of thumb is repent and pursue holiness. Why? Because that's who God is. The second reason, the last reason we'll investigate together this morning, is we need to repent and pursue holiness, not only because of who God is, but because of what God has done. What has God done? When we see a picture of it, a beginning of a picture of what God has done in redemptive history, in verse 45, He said, "For I am the Lord who brought you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God." See, the Exodus stands in significance in the Old Testament to what the cross of Jesus Christ stands in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, the Exodus was the greatest redemptive event that happened in the Old Testament. It was a picture of God rescuing His people from slavery and bondage in Egypt, redeeming them and purchasing them to be His property, His possession. And so why should God's people repent and pursue holiness? He says, because of what I've done for you, Israel. I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of slavery in Egypt. And that, my friends, is a picture of what God has done for us spiritually in Christ. Each and every single one of us was enslaved to sin. We were enslaved to death because the wages of sin is death. We were enslaved to hell for eternity. But thanks be to God that in Christ, Jesus has come. He has offered Himself as the Passover lamb. And He has substituted Himself in our place. And He's taken the death penalty upon Himself that we owe God for our sin debt. And He's allowed us to be redeemed and purchased by the Father through the blood of Jesus Christ. 9 times in the book of Leviticus, God says, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt." What was going to motivate God's people to pursue holiness? Gratitude. Gratitude for God's grace that He had saved them. What should motivate our pursuit of holiness today? Gratitude. Gratitude for God's grace. The picture of redemption in the Exodus was a shadow compared to the brilliant light of redemption in Christ. And notice what God has done, not only in the Exodus and redeeming them from slavery, but He says, "Your God," twice in this passage. "I am the Lord, your God." It appears 39 times in the book of Leviticus. What is God telling His people? The reason why they should pursue holiness is because of what He's done. He's rescued them from sin. He's rescued them from slavery and bondage to their sinfulness. And He's also purchased them and made them His people. Friends, why should we repent and pursue holiness today? Because of what God has done for us in Christ. David Brainerd was a missionary to the American Indians, and David died before the age of 30. But he talked about the holiness and the sanctification that he witnessed among the American Indians that he ministered to in a journal. He noted this: when a Christian realizes who Christ is, and when a Christian realizes what Christ has done for him so graciously, it tends to have a dramatic effect on this life, not only in salvation, but in holiness. What was David Brainerd saying? He was saying this, that when we contemplate what God has done for us in Christ, there will be a ripple effect in our lives. There will be a consequence in our lives that we will be sanctified as we contemplate God's grace poured out upon us in Christ. The Apostle Paul says it this way in Galatians 3, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. As we contemplate our Savior and what he's done for us and dying on the cross for our sins, we should be motivated to pursue holiness by gratitude for his grace. This week, how have you been responding to the pandemic? Have you been anxious? Jesus tells us in Matthew 5, do not be anxious about anything. Have you been selfish, only worrying about your own time and your own needs and your own desires? Jesus tells us how to pray, how our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Have you been consumed by the thought of your finances? God's word tells us that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And that we're to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. How should we respond today to this pandemic? Repent. Repent and pursue holiness. I've sinned against God this week with my thought life, being consumed by my own selfishness, my own inconvenience. I've sinned against God and my loved ones and my friends by my speech, what I've said, being short-tempered, short-fused, and frustrated. Will Rogers says this: we should live our lives in such a way that we would not be ashamed if we sold our family parrot to the town gossip. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I'm grateful that we do not own a parrot in the Klein house. Because I know that I have not responded in a very holy, godly way this week. And so I ask you, Father, to forgive me. Make me more selfless rather than selfish. Make me more patient rather than impatient. Help me to have more faith in you rather than being faithless. Help me to see and to look for what you're trying to teach me about you in this moment, and help me to see what you're trying to teach me about myself and the need for sanctification in my life. We thank you, Father, for this opportunity to gather together and to worship you. Though it be through an odd way, we're grateful. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.